Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Well, tonight I'm going to start by telling you that I've been meditating in the Word of God about who God is in my life. What He's done for me and what He is doing for me, amen? And you know what? Even at times whenever I don't realize that He's still doing things on my behalf, amen? Hallelujah. And the greatest asset that I have is the grace of God, amen? And I have been meditating on God's grace for a while now, trying to just see just how deep it is. Amen. And so that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the grace of God. Amen. We're going to start it tonight. Hallelujah. Because there are many facets to the grace of God, and you cannot get through all of it in just one session that we have here tonight. Amen. Praise God. So this is going to be part one. And whenever I'm with you again, we'll just continue on looking at some different aspects of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. So first of all, we got to give a definition to grace. Amen. A biblical definition of grace. Praise God. And the Word of God tells us, especially if you read in the Amplified Bible, every time that you see, or most of the time when you see the word grace, it says that it's God's unmerited and undeserved favor and mercy. Amen? It's unmerited and undeserved. In other words, you and I, and we all know this, okay, so I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know. You and I cannot earn it. We were never good enough to do it. Amen. All you have to do is think back to the moment that you were born again and that you seen how undone you were, that you saw how low you were. I mean, I did. I don't know about anybody else, but I did. I mean, the day that I got born again, I remember it on that Sunday morning, August the 3rd of 1992. I remember just like it was yesterday, the entire weight of everything that I did not even know was on me supernaturally lifted off of me. I sensed it. I felt it as if it was a natural weight on me was lifted off of me. Amen? And that's not ever going to be taken away from me. Praise God. Because it was so supernatural for me. Now, some people, you know, they get born again and, you know, praise God. Amen. And it's all. But I'm telling you, for me, it was an experience like I had never seen before. Amen. So I didn't deserve it. I didn't merit it. But I got God's favor. So what is God's favor? The Lord spoke to me. He said, God's favor is your position in me. Your position. It's not things, it's who you are. You're highly favored of the Lord. Highly favored, praise God. And you've got to understand that and know that when God deals with His people, with His children, He deals with us through the aspect that He favors us. That we are not someone trying to get on His good side. Amen. Because you can never get on His good side by who you are. Amen. So He always has dealt with His people with this aspect of grace, this unmerited favor. Amen. I mean, think about the times. If you go and read in the Old Testament all the times that whenever the children of Israel disobeyed God, they got into trouble every time. Amen. Just like you and I do when we disobey God. But he said, but if you'll return to me, or if you repent, or he used a lot of different vernacular in there, amen. He said, I will receive you. Amen. See, that's grace. That's how grace works, because you're in a position with God, favored by God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, it says in the Word of God that Jesus was full of compassion. Compassion is another definition of grace. Amen? He was full of compassion. Hallelujah. I remember especially one story when he talks about when the religious leaders brought the woman to him caught in adultery. Amen. Everybody knows that story, correct? Hallelujah. And they brought her to Jesus and threw her down at his feet and said, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery. Hallelujah. And they said, now the law of Moses says that she must be stoned. But what do you say? Amen. Now, I was just thinking about this earlier today. They had absolutely no compassion on this woman. No mercy. They were going to use her as an object to teach Jesus a lesson. Amen. That was all that, that's all that she was to them. Amen. But Jesus said this. He said, let him who is without sin cast the first stone, right? Yep. Cast the first stone. Then it says that he got down and started to write on the ground. Amen. Now, I believe he was doing this. I believe he was giving them a chance to think about that. He wasn't expecting an answer right off. He wanted that really to dig into them. Amen, what they were saying. They accused her, so he said, okay, the one of you who is without sin, you go ahead and cast the first stone. Well, what did it say happened? It said one by one, they started leaving. Amen? So there was no one there who was out without sin that could cast a stone? Well, sure there was. Jesus was there. He had every right to cast the first stone. But what did he do? Did he throw a stone at her? No, it says that he got back up and looked around and he asked her, he said, where are those who have accused you? Is there no one left? And she said, no one. He said, then I don't accuse you either. He said, but he did say this, go and sin no more. Now that is compassion. That is grace. That is God in action. Amen. He didn't extend grace to her because of what she didn't do, but by what she did do. Amen. She sinned one of the greatest sins that could ever be. Amen. But I'm telling you, that is how our God operates. Undeserved, unmerited favor for anyone who will receive it. Amen? Hallelujah. That's how he's always talked to his people. Now, go in your Bibles. We're going to start tonight in Exodus chapter 25. Amen? Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 25. I want to read this. You know, we talk about the benefits of God. Well, this is one of God's benefits. In Psalm 103, verse 8, it says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. That's one of your benefits. Amen. Psalm 111, verse 4 says that he has made his wonderful works to be remembered. This is how we're supposed to remember our Father. Compassion, grace, love, forgiveness toward us, all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Sure, you and I don't do it right all the time. I know that. I get that. Amen? But that is not what should drive you away from God. It should be what brings you toward God. The Word tells us that if we draw near to Him, He'll draw near to us. Amen? So He wants us to remember this, that the Lord is gracious, merciful, and full of loving compassion. That's your Father. Amen? That's your Father. These are the things that you and I should be meditating on. Hallelujah. Think about the type of Father that we actually have. The type of Father who loves us unconditionally. That there is not any... Think of it like this. Think about how you love your own children and multiply that by so many times that you can't even come to the end of it. That's how God loves you. Amen. Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. So He always talks to His people through this grace. Amen? Now, I want to look at this in Exodus 25. Are you there? Yes. Hallelujah. He's talking about the Ark of the Testimony. Praise God. And it says in verse 16, "And you shall put into this ark the testimony which I give you, and you shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width." So the law of Moses went into the ark. But then God said, now you're going to put a mercy seat on top of the law. You're going to put a mercy seat there. Thank God. Amen. Hallelujah. Just he thinks of everything. Amen. Put a mercy seat on top of the ark. And then go over and look at this in verse 21. And it says this again. It says, "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony or the law." And look at verse 22. "And there I will meet with you, and I will speak with you from above the mercy seat." Yeah. Amen. So anytime God spoke to Israel, it was from the mercy seat. Amen. Even though the law was the thing that was supposed to be their guide into pleasing God, God placed a condition on Himself that He would only talk to His people by this mercy or this grace. Do you see that? Amen. So important. As a pastor, I have seen a lot of people get born again. I've seen a lot of people serve God. And I've also seen more people than I care to mention fall into something and then walk away from God because they thought they did something that God would never forgive them for.
Come on now.
Amen. I want to enlighten all of us tonight that there is not one thing that you or I can do that is going to, you know, Paul talked about it. Who is going to separate us from the love of God? Amen? What is going to separate us from His mercy? Amen? There's absolutely nothing that you can do. If you will bring it to God and repent from it, God will always, He is faithful. It says in 1 John 1, 9, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. I don't know how much more we think we got to understand how God loves us before we'll understand that if we will just simply come to Him by faith, knowing that He will cleanse us. He will cleanse us. Amen. Why is that? Because of grace. Unmerited, undeserved, your position with God. Amen. See, God knew that none of us in ourselves could ever do what is right in the sight of God on a consistent basis. If you're anything like me, you can do it well for a while. And then all of a sudden, there's going to be something that's going to trip you up. Someone's going to make you mad. Something's going to happen. Amen? And so you've got a decision to make whether you go into the mercy mode or the guilt mode. Which one are you wanting to get into? Amen? Well, the guilt mode will always drive you away from God. Amen? You know, it tells us in Romans 8, it says, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. Yeah, but it was really bad. Welcome to the club of the human race. Amen. I'm not making light of this. I'm not trying to paint a pretty landscape on this. Amen. Sin is still sin. And we got to understand that. Amen. But you got to understand that the consequences, the punishment for the sin has already been paid for. And it was not by you. It was not by me. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus became that day of atonement for us. He became everything that we needed so that we could live before God blameless. Amen. Praise God. Of course we are supposed to come before Him and you know, recant of our sin. Of course we are. Of course we are to feel sorry, but we're not to feel guilty. You can have remorse, but you don't need to have guilt. You don't need to be condemning yourself. Amen? I know it's awful quiet tonight because we've all been there. Amen. But Jesus paid that price with His own blood. Amen? I said with His own blood He did it. Glory be to God. Amen? That was God's way of doing it. The law required punishment for sin. Amen? Physical punishment, even unto death in certain aspects. Amen? Hallelujah. But Jesus paid that price for us. Amen? He received the punishment in Himself. Amen? He became the fulfillment of what the law required. Amen? It says this in Hebrews 9:12. It says, not with the blood of goats or calves, but by His own blood He entered the most holy place once for all, one time, amen, having obtained eternal redemption. He went in and did everything that was necessary for you and I to operate in the grace of God now. Amen. Amen. The price has been paid. Quit trying to pay the price. Amen. Because the price of sin, it says the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Amen. Well, Jesus paid that death sentence, that death price. Amen. It's not up to you to do it anymore. Praise God. We all know that on the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament was a time whenever the high priest made, you know, for the sins of all the people, including himself, that he prayed all the sins on the head of a scapegoat, right? Yeah. and they let it out into the wilderness and let it go, never to return again. Hallelujah. But the unfortunate thing was that that only covered sin. It never removed sin. Amen. But the blood of Jesus was able to. Amen. Hallelujah. So he fulfilled everything that was necessary. Praise God. Listen to this. I'm just going to read you some scriptures here. Matthew 5:17 says this. Jesus said, "Do not think I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill." He fulfilled it. Amen. Romans 10:4 says this. "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." Amen. Hallelujah. There was no righteousness in the law. Amen. But Jesus fulfilled the law, putting an end to that so righteousness could now come forth. Amen. And you and I can walk in it. Glory to God. Yes. Yeah, I know there's a lot of thinking going on tonight, but there should be a lot more shouting. Amen. Amen. See, this is what set me free. Amen. And I got to continue to meditate on this, because if I don't look out, what did God tell Cain? He said that sin waits at the door. Amen. It's always there. It's lurking. It's waiting for an opportune moment. Amen. But if you know who you are, if you know that the grace of God is on your life, then you can walk free from that sense of, "He's going to get me one of these times." Amen. You've got to look at yourself as a free person. All the prison doors were opened. Amen. And you should have walked out. If you're still looking outside the door of that prison cell, you're not free. Right. If that door was swung wide open or closed tight, if you don't walk out, you're still in bondage. Amen? And so we've got to understand, amen? This is why he gave us grace, so that we could walk before him whole. Amen. Praise God. Galatians 3:24-25 says this. "Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." Amen. "But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." We don't have to have a thing like the law showing us the way to God. Jesus has already shown us that now. And we've been justified by faith. You are righteous with God by your faith. Not by my faith. I am righteous before God because of my faith. Amen. You are because of your faith. So faith is the key of receiving grace. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go and look at this in John's Gospel. I've got a lot. And if we don't get all of it done today, then we'll just go into it the next time. Hallelujah. I'm going to be reading a lot out of the Amplified Bible. So if you don't have one with you, you missed it. You didn't. Amen. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word Christ became flesh, human, incarnate, and tabernacled, fixed his tent of flesh, lived a while among us. And we actually saw his glory, his honor, his majesty, such as an only begotten Son receives from his Father, full of grace, favor, loving kindness, and truth." Amen. Yeah. Jesus is full of grace. Glory be to God. He'll never be mad at you. He'll never look at you like, I don't want to talk to you. He is always ready to receive you. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, let's go and look at this. We're going to jump over to verse 16 now. He's full. Get a thought on this. Full of grace. Now, look at this in verse 16. For out of his fullness, that fullness of grace, we have all received. Say, I've received. Yeah, you've received. We have all received. Anyone who has received Jesus by faith, we have all received of his fullness. Amen. This is why so many people are not clicking with God's way of doing things. Amen. We can't grasp the concept that we are in him. He is in us. He is the fullness of God. We have been given joint seating. Amen. We have been given the right to use his name. Glory to God. Think about these things. Meditate on these things. Speak these things over yourself. Amen. This is what grace is all about. Now look at this. It says, all had a share, and we were all supplied with. This is what you're supplied with. Amen. One grace after another.
Amen.
Amen. One grace after another. I mean, it just keeps coming. It just keeps coming. Amen. And spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, and even favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. Whew, man, I don't know if I can handle all of that goodness. The Lord is good. Amen. He is good to all. His goodness is over his creation. His recreation. Amen. One grace after another. One gift heaped. You know, I'm thinking about, okay, we've got grace, we got favor, we got what else did we have? We got it all. We got one gift and spiritual blessing. All of these things, this is me thinking, all of these things are the foundation of where I'm at. Amen. But if I continue to meditate on it, then all I'm going to do is add one layer upon another layer. One revelation after another about who God is, about what he has done for me. Amen. And I'll just keep building. That's why it says one grace after another. Amen. You know what grace is, but all of a sudden, I never saw that. Amen, which we'll look at it at other times. Amen. There are different graces. Amen. But it's still one grace. One thing after another coming on us from our benevolent Father. You just don't get any better. Amen. Well, I ain't never seen any of that so far. Well, you won't with that attitude. Amen? Because with that attitude, I am for sure knowing that you are not using your faith. You're just wanting to see God do something, and you don't do anything. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you got good shoes on tonight, because there's going to be a lot of toe stomping. Amen. Now look at this. I'm not even going to go to the part where in Ephesians chapter. Oh, yeah, I do need to go there. All right, hold your place there. We just got to go to it. I wasn't going to for time's sake, but you know what? We just got to look at it. Sometimes you got to fix your eyes on certain things. Amen. Remember, we're talking about God's fullness. We're talking about that fullness is in Jesus Christ. Everybody remembers that, right? Don't you know, got track with me. In Ephesians chapter 1, and let's look at verse 21. Okay, verse 21. Amplified Bible says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named. He's talking about Jesus here. Above every title that can be confirmed, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Hallelujah. And he has put all things under his feet and has appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. He's the supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. Praise God. The church, verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him. Do you see that? Amen. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ. The fullness of his anointing, the fullness of his grace, the fullness of his compassion, the fullness of his love. Amen. Do you see that? Hallelujah. We are the fullness of him who fills all in all, for in that body lives the full measure of him. In us, in you, in me, right now, this very moment. I don't care if you don't feel it. Who cares about what you feel like? Amen. You got it. And you got to believe it. And you got to receive it. Amen. And quit thinking about all the times that you didn't get.
Come on now.
Amen. We are the fullness of Jesus Christ in the earth. Amen. And whenever you and I get a hold of that revelation, then things will start to change. It may not happen overnight, but it will start to change. Amen. You are the fullness of him. Praise God. Now, back to John 1 again, verse 17. For while the law was given through Moses, grace, unearned, undeserved, favor, and spiritual blessing and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's how we got it. When you got born again, when I got born, it's no wonder I felt so much weight come off of me. Grace entered into my life. I didn't know what grace was. I had not a clue about what the grace of God was all about. Amen? I was just hoping that maybe someday I might make it. But I wasn't for sure. Oh, well, if I don't quite make it, well, I won't go, you know. But the thing of it is, someone will pray me out. I'll eventually get there. It might take a while, and it'll be uncomfortable for a little while, but they'll get me out. Amen. Honey, you're on your own. Amen. Once you leave this body, you're on your own.
That's right.
No one's going to pray you out of anything. No one's going to be able to buy you out. Amen. What's done is done. Hallelujah. And so we just got to know that. That's why John said, so you can know that you have eternal life. You can know it. You don't have to wonder about it. If you're still wondering about whether or not you're saved, come and talk to me. We'll get this straightened out. Amen. You should, by the time we get done with this tonight, understand a little bit more about who you are and that there is a grace on your life because Jesus is the fullness of that. And the fullness of that grace is dwelling inside of you right now. Do you see that? Amen. It's good. I'm telling you, this is good. This is good stuff. This will make you happy. Hallelujah. I tell you what, when I'm eating my Cheerios in the morning and I'm reading this, oh, it's good. Them Cheerios really taste good. Amen. My coffee, it is, oh, it's so good. Hallelujah. Nothing bitter, because the Word of God is getting inside of me. Amen. Hallelujah. It's really good stuff. Praise God. Jesus said this in John 10:10, the Amplified. He said, I came that they may have and enjoy life. Well, I'm not enjoying life. Well, then see, you're not doing it right. Amen. I heard one preacher say this one time. He said, if you're not having fun serving Jesus, you're not doing it right. If you're all bogged down, if you're boo-hooing, if you're all wimpy and crying and don't know how I'm ever going to do it, you're doing it wrong. It's just, amen. Hallelujah. That's good stuff, isn't it? Praise God. Where do we want to go now? I'm skipping around here. Praise God. So, we got to understand that grace is the ability to live before God in righteousness. It is not a free pass to sin. Amen. Well, you know, I shouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Amen. I'll get it. God will forgive me. He knows I'm weak. That's not what grace is for. Amen. Romans 5:20 says this, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Amen. So you have the ability to overcome. Amen. I know it's hard. I know it's not something that is easy to do at times. Amen. But there is an option for you and I to overcome this. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. We have a way of getting around, not around these things. Grace is not a technicality, okay? It is not a loophole that you and I can just jump onto when we know we've done wrong. Amen. It's not made for that. Hallelujah. I'm glad that it's there whenever I fall short, but I shouldn't want to fall short just because it's there. Amen. Hallelujah. So we want to be able to live godly before God because of His grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know what I'm even wanting to do now. There's just so much. Praise God. You know, we talked about in John's Gospel 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, trials, frustrations, and all these things. You remember that? He said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived of His power to harm you. Amen? Hallelujah. So in the world, you do have all these things. But if you choose to live in the kingdom of God, if you choose to live by the grace of God, amen, I wrote some things down here, you have every good and perfect gift in James 1:17. You'll have all things added unto you, Matthew 6:33. You have peace, Romans 5:1. You have rest, Hebrews 4:10. You have an inheritance, Ephesians 1:11. And you lived a good life, Ephesians 2:10. And that's just a few. Amen. Hallelujah. But that's all there because you choose to live by the grace of God. It's there for you. Amen. You don't have to be a partaker of what the world is doing. Amen. Jesus prayed this over us in John 17:16. It says, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. You're not of this. You're living in this world. Sure, I understand that. And the world system's all around you, but that doesn't mean you have to be a partaker of it. That doesn't mean that you have to be limited by it. Because God has made a way for you and I to overcome these things, to take us beyond that. Amen? And that's by His grace, His unmerited favor. Remember, favor is a position. It's not an attribute. It's a position that you and I hold. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. All right, let's look at this. Romans chapter 5. Praise the Lord. I have never experienced such a hunger and desire to know how much my Father really, truly loves me.
Amen.
And He is willing to do anything for me if I will ask Him in faith, if I will use the Word of God, if I will use the name of Jesus. He's willing to do anything for me. Amen? But I have to have faith that He is going to do that. Praise God. Romans chapter 5. Is everybody there?
Amen.
All right. We're coming to a close on this. Verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God, which we just heard a while ago, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Okay? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Praise God. So Jesus became our point of entry into this grace. And it says that we are to stand in, and we're not supposed to be casual observers when it comes to His grace. We are to stand in it. Amen? What does it say in Galatians? It says, therefore, after you've done everything that the crisis demands, it says, stand therefore. Amen? Stand in that grace. Make it a point that that you're going to firmly fix yourself there. That is about as firm a foundation as you're ever going to need. Amen. Standing on this faith, this grace. Amen. Hallelujah. It's just so good. It is so good. I'm telling you, I just want everybody to get so hungry about finding out just how much God loves them.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I know God loves me. You don't know how much God loves you. You just don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a lot deeper than you and I think, because we can't get past the part where if I've messed up, God doesn't love me anymore. Amen? You got to get past that. That should have been taken care of a long time ago. Amen? If you mess up, you just go before God, repent, and you just keep on walking. Well, it can't be that easy. It has to be that easy. Amen? It has to be. Because if we make it as hard as what we want it or think it should be, this church would be empty. I wouldn't even be here preaching tonight. It'd probably be, I don't know, hallelujah, Chinese restaurant for all I know. I don't know. You understand what I'm saying? Because we put such stipulations on our forgiveness that it just makes it impossible for us to believe that God would forgive us. Amen. Well, yeah, but see, I knew better. Well, don't we all? Whenever you messed up, didn't you know better? Of course you did. Of course. Amen. But that's not the issue here. The issue is, what are you going to do about that now? Amen. Jesus paid the ultimate price. I mean, he paid more for you. You know, it's no wonder it says in Psalm 8, what is man that you are mindful of him? Really? You gave your life for that? He sure did. Because he saw something in each one of us called potential. That we would become something bigger than ourselves through him. Amen. There is no way under heaven that I would have ever thought that I would be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to anyone. Amen. But God saw potential. God saw someone who was willing to be used. Amen?
Amen. Come on.
And so I'm standing before you. I mean, Lord, help me. If he wasn't here right now, this would be a hot mess up here. Amen? It would really be really, really, really bad. Amen? Now, let's go back one chapter, and we're going to start closing here. I think I'm going to get most of this done. Let's look at Romans chapter 4. Hallelujah. Grace. Unearned, undeserved, favor from a loving Father. That's all it's about. Amen? All right, let's look at this in verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? Well, what did he accomplish? What did Abraham accomplish in his flesh? An Ishmael. Yeah. Amen. He heard from God. He heard what God wanted him to become, the father of a multitude. Amen. But whenever it didn't happen quite as fast as what he thought, because, hey, we're all getting older. We're all getting older. Amen. Hallelujah. So he thought he would help God along. So he didn't accomplish much. We're still paying the price for that bad decision. We're still paying it after all these thousands of years. Amen. Until he heard God's voice and obeyed it, he was a nobody. Amen? He was a moon worshiper. He was a mess. Amen? But he heard God's voice, and then he did something with God's voice. What did he do? He obeyed it. He obeyed it. Amen? He obeyed it. Amen? It says in verse 2, for if Abraham was justified by works, now we're talking about him doing things under his own volition, his own ability, amen. He has something to boast about, but not before God. Amen. Yeah, you might be able to say, well, I've done this and I've done that. And you hear people say that all. Well, I. Amen. Well, they got something to boast about to other people, but makes no impression on God. Amen. Makes no impression on God. Verse 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. It was an act of his faith, believing God. He believed God. He believed that he was able to do what he said he would do. And you can see that in verse 21, the same chapter. Amen. He believed God. He gave glory to God. He just kept thanking God no matter what. He didn't see anything. Day after day after day after day after day, month, 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 year, year, year. He kept praising God. And on the inside of him, it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it exploded one day.
Amen.
Amen. And we had an Isaac. When it got to the point where he could not do anything on his own, then God said, okay, we got to the point. Amen? If he would have just did that 25 years earlier. Amen. Yeah, that's the way it is sometimes. Hallelujah. So it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, these next verses, it says, now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as a debt. If you're wanting to impress God by what you are doing, it is not grace working in your life. You are wanting God to see you for who you are in the sight of other people. They think I'm great. Amen. I can do this. Hallelujah. So the wages, the benefits, the rewards that you're going to get are not grace. Amen. It's a debt. A debt. Amen. Anyone who has ever applied for a position, a job, or whatever it might be, amen, one of the first things you want to find out is, how much am I going to get paid? Amen. Hallelujah. So it's you're not doing it as a volunteer. You're not doing it free of charge. You're expecting to be paid for this. Amen. So it's the same way with God. If you're doing anything for God and you're expecting Him to pay you, that is not grace. Amen. That is not grace. That is not God working through you. That is you working through yourself to impress God. Amen. And we've already seen it's not impressed. I mean, it doesn't matter what any of us have ever done. It does not impress God the way you think it should impress Him. Amen. I'm just saying. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if someone's going to say that, you know, you really did a good job, I want it to be God. I want it to be Him. Praise God. Because as wonderful as Pastor Chuck is, he could have a bad day one time. He could tell me one day that he really enjoyed what I talked about, and then he'd go home and say, you know what, that was really dumb. Hallelujah. I cherish his opinion of me, praise God, but I cherish God's more.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Because any of us can have a time when we're not acting Christ-like, okay? Praise God. So it's a debt. It is not anything that it's an obligation, okay? I like what this says in Matthew 7:21-23. Jesus said this. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Didn't we do all these things? Lord, don't you recall that? And he said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. He's not impressed. Amen. God doesn't owe us anything. We need to establish that. Truly and by all estimates, we could not do enough to have the same privilege as what grace gives us. Amen. You can't do enough. Praise God. You cannot do enough. Amen. But it says this in verse 5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Praise God. I have to understand that at one time I was the ungodly. I was the ungodly. And I thought, just like the people in verse 4 did, that you owe me. I'm working for you, amen? This is what I want. This is how much I'm supposed to get, praise God. And I was thinking about this. I thought, you know what? People say, well, yeah, but they gave me what I wanted. That's because you were still under the threshold of what they were willing to do. Amen? Hallelujah. You were still under that threshold. If you'd have went over it, they would have gotten someone else. So we need to tone ourselves down a little bit. Amen? I know we think we're all wonderful and all great and everything else. Amen? But we got to understand this. If not but for grace, we wouldn't be anything. Amen? If it wasn't for that grace, if it wasn't for Jesus paying the price and giving us that grace, we wouldn't be anything. You wouldn't be smart enough to blow your own nose, let alone do anything else that you're doing right now. Amen? Hallelujah. I've been doing the same type of work for 54 years, the same type of work. But yet I only consider myself to be average in it. Amen? Why? Because to be any more than that puts me in a position of being under pressure to perform that. Amen? I'm just an average Joe. Nothing special except in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. I'm nothing special to any other person. Well, I am to my wife. Amen. Hallelujah. But the thing of it is that I'm not here to impress you. I'm here to serve God. And to do what He wants me to do. Amen. So I'm more apt to listen to what He's telling me than what you're telling me. Not that I don't think that you all have some wonderful ideas. Amen. But He has better ideas. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. Praise God. So I'm going to condense this all down into one paragraph for you after I've spent all this time. This is it. God wants His children blessed beyond anything they've ever experienced. He sees you that way right now. What He needs is for you to see yourself that way. Not in an arrogant way, but in a way that if I have a full supply, what can I do for the kingdom? Amen? What am I going to be able to do? That's why He wants me blessed. His very nature of love for His children compelled Him to do something. In order to satisfy, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, in order to satisfy that great and intense love that He loved us, He had to do something. You compassion does. Pity talks. Amen. He was full of compassion, so He was always doing. Praise God. Sin kept us from the fullness of His love, so He sent Jesus to pay the entire price for our freedom. Amen? From the effect of sin. But that was not all. That freedom has benefits with it. There's benefits with it. Amen? Jesus became the access point to those benefits. And if we have faith in what He has done, then we access the promises. Hallelujah. We access everything that God has for us. Does that make sense? Amen. One more scripture. I'm going to let you go. Promise. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We all know this one. It's very, very... But there's just one thing I want to look at in here. In the Amplified Bible, 2 Corinthians 9, 8. The very first part of it, Paul says this, and God is able to make all grace Every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance. Make all grace. Amen. So that's the point I'm wanting to make. There's more than just this grace and this grace. It's grace, but there are aspects of the grace. And that's what I was failing to see for a long time. That even though I have access to the grace of God, He is able to make all grace, any grace that I need. What grace are you going to need today? He's able to make that grace come. Amen. Amen. So that you have all sufficiency in all things. You're not lacking in anything. Amen. Amen. So that you can fulfill the will of God in your life. That's what grace is for. So you can fulfill the will of God. Hallelujah. Grace is there if you mess up. Grace is there to empower you. Grace was there to save you. Grace is there to heal you. Grace is there to make you prosperous. And there's others. Amen. But there's a grace. There's a grace for it. And that's what God is wanting us to see. Start meditating on the grace of God. Start thinking about it. Start looking at it. Look up scripture. Just ask the Holy Spirit to, amen. I mean, he'll do it. He's faithful. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.